Live Line on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry, bringing you great savings on curtains and bedding. Available all year in store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Live Line. 51551 Joe at RTE. Just a quick update. Unfortunately, not good news to the story of Grace Jennings, who contacted us yesterday. Grace, as she told us, 85, looking after Benny, who unfortunately is bedridden, totally compartmentalised, thank God, but is bedridden and totally dependent. And Benny is 95. So you have an 85-year-old wife looking after a 95-year-old husband. She was talking about carers, as you know, and carers allowance we've been talking about since the election was called. Little, that's the only issue raised so far on Liveline. And then what Grace was saying yesterday, she has 5 hours. She had 10 hours, but she now has 5 hours over 7 days of someone coming in to help her. And basically it's to help to lift Benny. And she's looking for a modest, and she was a very modest woman in terms of her demands or her requests. She was looking for a doubling of the 5 hours, and she wanted someone obviously in the afternoon as well as the morning, for obvious reasons. And also on Saturday and Sunday, we've been on to the HSE non-stop. They're very busy. They're doing, we presume they're doing their best, and I presume everything has to go through channels, so to speak, and entitlements or whatever. But unfortunately, as of yet, the HSE haven't told us whether they're willing to double it from 5 to 10, or indeed they've been able to get anyone. By the way, they live in Ballinasloe, so I'm half hoping in the world we live in that some agency in Ballinasloe might say, well, I know carers are run off their feet and home helps are run off their feet, but if there was any gap anywhere around Ballinasloe, if you could get onto the HSE, if obviously you'd be recognised by them, and say you might be, by the way, this is the image which got so many people yesterday when Grace described what happened when she was in the front room and Benny managed, she doesn't know how, he managed to get into the bathroom because he wanted to go to the bathroom, and he fell. This is Grace's description yesterday of what she had to do.
He was on the floor of the bathroom. Nowhere could I lift him, so I got the large toweling dressing gown from the back of the door and I put it on the floor, rolled him over onto it, and pulled him back into the bedroom in the hope that I could have got him to the side of the bed where he could have gripped it and got up, but I couldn't. It didn't work.
Okay, that's the harrowing description. And that was this weekend in Ireland in 24. Okay, Joe at RT.ie 51551. If anything happens, any development, anyone can help, we will, of course, bring it to you immediately. Christine, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And Christine, thanks. You contacted us a few days ago about a company called
Kira in Cork.
Kira in Cork. And what did you try to buy off this company, or did buy off this company?
Well, I was on Facebook, Joe, and I spotted this ad, and I saw a lovely dress. And I thought, God, that'd be nice for Christmas. So I clicked on the ad, and it opened up into a kind of looked like a boutique site.
Okay.
You know, I've used Irish boutique sites before, especially ones here in Wexford.
Right.
And so that's what I thought I was looking at. And I'm there, and I decided I'd buy this particular dress anyway. That was grand. Ordered it on with my PayPal account, and no sign of it, Joe. It's been about 2.5 weeks now at this stage.
And when were you?
And I'm kind of thinking, that's strange, you know, that it hasn't come so far. So I'm just wondering, does anybody know the shop in Cork, or have they ordered from it before?
Well, you see, is it in Cork? Because it doesn't, it says Kira Cork underneath it.
Well, it also says Patrick Street on the site, Joe. It does,
because
when I went in, I mean, I saw the style and I thought, wow, this is fabulous. And had fabulous autumnal colours, and all the dresses are all kind of called after an Irish name, you know, other kind of Irish names that are out there. So I thought, I'm dealing with an Irish company, and that made me feel good. So I thought, perfect. Let's keep the shops on the high street, give them a bit of business. And subsequently, when they received my first order, they sent me a thank you for the order and a 20% off my next order.
Ah.
So, Joe, of course, being, you know, thinking I was clever, I ordered 4 items from them.
Okay.
So I've spent a few bob. Nothing excessive.
Okay, but it's a warner. It's to try and find out what's happening. Kira Cork.
But yeah.
Is there a number on the Patrick Street address? Like, Pat,
I think it said 1 Patrick Street. I'm not 100% on that now, Joe, but I think it was 1 Patrick Street. And I was kind of thinking, well, I've been on Patrick Street before. Yeah, it's got shops on it. So maybe there's a little boutique or something there. I'm not sure. So if anybody up there might know it, that'd be great, you know.
Mm-hmm. 1 Patrick Street, Cork. And by the way, were any of the brands on it recognisable? Do you follow me?
Well, no, yeah, I mean, it didn't give brand names, in fairness. It didn't use brand names. And I didn't think about that, Joe, because, there's a store down here in Wexford called Candy in Wexford, and it's a brilliant store. It's down there on the main street. And at the end of the day, they often do little videos and they'll highlight different items they'd have in the shop. And if you go in to buy it, you often wouldn't see necessarily the brands. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the stuff is fabulous quality and they have it sent to you in 2-3 days. You know, so I don't understand, I suppose, why it's taking so long to come to me. You know?
Tell me the procedure in terms of PayPal. They were a very reputable organisation. Is your money gone?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, the money's gone. And they thanked me for the order. You know. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm just assuming. I don't know. Well, now, it did say.
But you know,
it sent me a little link after that just saying that it's being shipped. And I thought, shipped from Cork?
That could mean the post.
It could be anywhere. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it could even have warehouses in other parts of Europe, I suppose. So I didn't think too much about it. Yeah.
Somebody's saying, oh, obviously, I don't know the exact numbers on Patrick Street. By the way, it still could land in the door.
Yes, it could, Joe, and that would be great.
Okay, at the beginning of Patrick Street, at that end, I don't know if there is an actual number one.
Yeah,
it's Merchant's
Quay. I don't know either. But, yeah. I mean, you know, it was in court.
Apparently, the website has no number.
No, there's no...
I thought you said 1 Patrick Street. Okay, it's a long...
I thought that it was 1 Patrick Street.
Okay,
but
it's a long Patrick Street. Okay.
And I recognised that as being in Cork, so I thought, okay.
Okay. You did a bit more investigation and you landed in China.
Yes, somewhere in, Asia anyway, Joe. You know, not necessarily China, but Asia. Just when I looked it up, other people sort of said to me that there was... and that they had purchased something from Akira Dublin.
Okay.
And then, you know, so I haven't kind of looked into it much more than that, Joe. I just kind of thought, you know what? If it's not what it looks like it should be, then maybe, you know, maybe I could talk to you about it. Maybe
find
it'll
out.
Put
we're
the
just
word
trying,
out there.
We tried to contact them. You're trying to contact them. They're
more
than willing to 0818 715 815, joe@rte.ie, from anywhere in the wide earthly world, no matter where you are. They'll get a quick response from the team. So, Kira Cork, we're just inquiring, how are you? And and did they give any indication in the original sale, delivery within 4 days, 7?
No, they didn't. They didn't give any indication. They just said that it was on its way. And if you go onto the site itself and click on where it kind of tells you, you can sort of track your parcel, it just shows a little map, you know, and it shows your address. And it looks like, you know, there's a line above it that's sort of gone kind of halfway. So it's nearly coming to you, if you like.
Okay.
It doesn't give any more than that. It's not like when you go on and look at maybe DPD or one of the other.
Okay, and they don't say
delivery.
They don't give a carrier. They don't give on post.
No, they don't. No.
Yeah.
No, so you don't know what you're dealing with. Could arrive with a horse and cart, Joe. It'd be grand
once it
arrives.
Yeah, a donkey with a half rail of turf, which would be worth a few pounds this day and age, a donkey rail of turf, as I say, or better still, a horse rail of turf, even bigger.
Exactly.
But anyway, how long are you going to give before, like, can you get onto PayPal and say, please stop?
Well, you can't really. PayPal advises you to get in contact with the company first. And I kind of think, well, can I stop it in the middle now that it's been sent? Like, I mean, do I have to kind of wait maybe 6 weeks and sort of say, listen, I want my money back because it's not here? I don't know how long a person should wait. You know, I mean, there's no phone number, so I can't ring
them.
Okay,
well, let me give out my phone number again and see if we're getting anything on Ciara Cork or Ciara Dublin or Ciara whatever. They might help us find them. 0818715815, that's our number. Apparently, the website has pictures very similar to another well-known online clothing company.
Okay.
And the way... There is a fantastic gimmick now. Sorry, not gimmick, fantastic... program in Google now where you can put in a photograph. You can take a photograph of a photograph and that will help you locate where the original photograph was taken, if there's any identifiable, which there might not be, any identifiable buildings. And it's called reverse screen grab. That's the technical phrase.
Well, I've just seen a couple of other ads on Facebook yesterday that said Vogue Dublin and Vogue Kildare and seem to have that same dress in amongst its offerings. So I don't know, Joe. Do you know what I mean? I'm just holding my fingers crossed here and
well, you know, here we are. We're tumbling. Well, Black Friday is basically a month now. We're tumbling into Black Friday. This isn't it. This coming Friday.
Yeah, and, there's another one.
You
November,
can imagine,
yeah.
And everyone will be. Well, a lot of people do get a lot of bargains on Black Friday, but you have to be very careful.
Well, coming up to Christmas, do you know what I mean? Every penny counts, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm just hoping if I have been caught, well, that nobody else gets caught.
But it was a good idea. Now, I know a lot of legitimate companies do it, but it was a good idea for them to say, thanks for your order, appreciate your loyalty.
Absolutely.
By the way, before anything arrives, here's 20% off your next order.
Off your next, yeah.
And what does Christine do?
Oh, well, I just feel foolish now.
You don't.
I'll do
you're
best
warning,
here, like.
But you're warning other people until we find out
well,
who Ciara
so.
Cork are.
Yeah. I hope so. Yeah.
That's really,
but then maybe someone wonderful is going to ring in a minute and say, I do my shopping there every Thursday.
Okay.
You know,
that's what we're banking
on. That'd be great.
That's what we're banking on. Okay, Christine, mind yourself. And it's very, very early for Christmas, as they say. But anyway, work has to be done. Thanks indeed, Christine. Joe at rt.ie 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
You use a great phrase, Grace Clancy. Grace, good afternoon. You use a great phrase in your contact, but as you said, the shop was heaving with sweets.
Yes.
Was it a sweet shop? Was it a confectionery shop?
No, Joe, and good afternoon to you as well.
Likewise.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
Thanks for taking my call.
Heaving.
I guess I felt heaving, Joe. Yes, I felt very passionate about what I had seen and this very subject. And I guess it all came to boiling point this morning when I was driving from Kildare to West Clare and I dropped into this particular shop. That isn't a sweet shop.
It's a garage.
It's a garage. A service station, I guess.
Plaza.
Correct term is.
Yeah.
And I stopped to get a cup of coffee and the newspaper from my dad. And this is, I suppose, a place that I don't try to frequent as often as I used to years ago. Anyway, popped in, went to buy the newspaper and weaved my way through what I would call a tunnel of chocolates, sweets, and all things that look beautiful when you're, I suppose, at your lowest ebb and you feel like you want to grab something to go with the newspaper to nibble on in the car. And so, really, my point is, Joe, that I'm saddened to think that this is what Ireland has become. And especially because this particular concourse or this particular service station has a lot of passing traffic, yes, but a lot of tourists visiting our country that might only be making a small pit stop of a few days or a couple of hours maybe on the way to the airport or maybe, you know, picking up a tour or something. And so they arrive into this particular place and all they're met with is wall to wall with sweets and chocolates and just really unhealthy choices for people like me. Who is a mother as well, and I have three children, and I have stopped bringing the kids in to stop off here on our way to West Clare, mm-hmm. because I find that it's a horrible example to give to my children, to let them think that this is the norm.
But isn't there a lot more for sale in the Barack Obama Plaza? Supermax, obviously. Don't they do Subway? Don't they do a type of pizza? Of Papa Joe's? Papa John's? They do coffee. They do hot carvery. There's a lot. There's a lot. I know it's a petrol station primarily. Or maybe not anymore, but it is.
Well, there is a lot for sale, Joe. But I guess I'm not even just picking out this particular place. I'm picking out all shops now. I know my local shop where I live has changed its layout.
Okay.
And again, I commented to the staff a couple of weeks ago saying, is it me? Or are other people, you know, commenting that every shelf that you're met with from the moment you arrive into the shop, chocolates, sweets. So it's this force power, you know, that you're looking at and you're thinking, I should be buying one of these, even though I don't need it. I should just grab one because everyone else is grabbing one. And visually, it looks disgusting, Joe. I don't know if other people feel the same.
Why does it? Does visually, like paper, or sorry, chocolate confectionery, they're very bright. A lot of them are very catchy. Some of them are cartoonish. When you say it, they look awful. Do you mean the images or just the impact it has on you or other people, for that matter?
But the impact in general. I mean, we're trying to go a healthy route in this country. There's a lot of talk about that. The general narrative is that, you know, we should be focusing on healthy eating, and especially, you know, if you're a parent, that you should be focusing on that for your children. And yet it's a losing battle, really, I find, as a parent anyway, that, you know, you take one route and you try and educate your children in a certain way and teach them about healthy eating and exercise. And, you know, you have choices when you go to a shop, etc. And then it's like this force power, you know, this pester power.
So it's not
that if you don't take a left, maybe you take a right, and then you see, you know, a bar of chocolate, and then if you twist to go down, maybe you're met with four other shelves.
Okay, and then you'd see the 15 different iterations of the same product: fun pack, small pack, minty pack.
Fun pack, small
pack. So you say you're going in to what you think is a fuel stop, but it's actually a sugar stop, a sugar hit.
Oh, Joe, it's more than a sugar hit and a sugar stop. And I'm just curious, do other people feel like I feel, or am I alone? And I feel like I'm not alone because I talk to a lot of my friends.
I take your point. But that being said, nothing that's been sold in Barack Obama Plaza, or indeed any other fuel station for that matter, nothing is illegal. All these chocolates are legal, and confectionery and Cadbury's and Roundtree's and Nestle and Reeves and Hershey and Toblerones and Clipso bars and Haribos. They're all legal.
They're all legal, Joe. I get that. But I suppose my point is that what our country has become? You know, are we being brainwashed into thinking that we have to always snack on chocolates and sweets even when we're just going to the shop to buy fuel?
But you don't have to buy.
No, I guess you don't have to, Joe, and I take your point. But I don't know. I'm very proud of my country. I love my country, and equally, I love my children, and I try and educate them a certain way, but I feel like I'm fighting a losing battle.
So you think we've become a marshmallow country, marshmallow nation?
Well, it's just this need to be met with wall to wall with chocolates and sweets and this pester power of, like, you queue to pay for fuel or you pay for a newspaper, and by the time you've gotten to the top of the queue, which isn't long, by the way, it might only be a second or two, you've picked up maybe two or three chocolate bars or, you know, a bottle of something that you don't need. And then if you've got children in tow, they're looking left and right. And of course, by their very nature, human nature for children is to want the contraband because you're saying, no, you don't need it. But yet it's you know, it's constantly pushing you to take me, buy me. You understand my point?
Yeah, but I when you say, like, is this what our nation has come to? It's hardly a severe indictment, is it, of our country?
Well, no. Joe,
I don't want the place coming down with cigarettes and alcohol. I take your point, But I presume Pat McDonagh, whoever runs Pat McDonagh owns, it's a fantastic operation around the country, fantastic sir. But I presume whoever runs, do they realise if we put up a tunnel of apples or a tunnel of melons, that we wouldn't be in business in a week because we wouldn't be selling anything?
Yes, I appreciate that. And they are in business to do business. And I did bring that up with the manager a number of years ago. I did, when I was probably frequenting that place a little more, until I just decided, no, I'm not going to go in there anymore. I've just decided, especially when I have the children with me. And I did say, would you mind if I speak to the manager? And of course he reminded me he's in business to do business. And I completely get that. That's how business works.
I take that. And you're getting support. Tommy Roddy.
Yeah, Joe, how you doing?
Your quick pint of grace, please. Joe at rt.ie 51551.
Yeah, I just want to make the point that those sweets that are on display, they wouldn't be on display unless people were going to buy them.
Of course.
Like, we at Halloween just gone by there, and where I live, I always get a lot of children come trick-or-treating, so I like to give them sweets. So what I did, the handiest thing I did, and what I do every year, is I went to Lidl and I got the cheapest of cheap sweets, the really cheap sugary gummy stuff that you pay 50 cents to a euro, 1.50, and that kind of stuff. And the kids came to me,
as they
do every year, and I gave them the sweets, and I got a lot of children, and they all went away, and it's only once a year. So my point is just that the sweets that are there are obviously being sold, and he's catering for a market. You know, it's simple as that. The sweets, you walk down that aisle in Lidl,
a tunnel.
And it's the same.
Grace described the scenario in the Barack Obama plans as a tunnel of Toblerones, Flakes, Aeros, Picnics, Twirls, Bounties, Twix, Marses, Yorkies, Bueno, Ferrero Rocher. The list is endless.
Yeah, well, I haven't been in that plaza, I'll admit.
Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about, because you walk down an aisle in Lidl, and I'm not picking out Lidl. It's just that
I don't worry about that.
It's the same with any shop, and that stuff is there, and people are obviously buying it.
Okay.
I just wanted to interject there for a second.
Yes,
please. As a family, we visited France this year, and we flew into a beautiful part of France called Rodez, sort of south, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And then after a couple of days, we drove to Montpellier, which is about a 5.5-hour journey. And I used that as a little project in the back of my mind. I said, I'm just curious now if we stop at a few concourse or, you know, service stations to see what was the display like.
Right.
And honestly, Joe, it was an eye-opener. I mean, you were lucky if you saw maybe four or five bars of types of chocolate for sale, maybe the odd fridge with some drinks, but certainly not wall-to-wall heaving tunnels of chocolate and sweets and fizzy drinks and, you know, things that really are just, okay, I get that they sell, I understand that, but it just, I don't know, it sends this horrible message that we're just a country, like you say, that are just swallowed up in marshmallows. Is that the term that you use?
Okay, well, I think people are starting already. Grace is in betwixt and between. Grace is on a Toblerone, as far as this are. But you might not be. 0818-715-815.
I don't mind.
Joseph Hines.
How are you getting on?
Is Grace on her Toblerone when she comes to this discussion?
I don't know. I think Grace is after getting locked in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, because as a fellow who works in 4 or 5 years there in the forecourt in the... I don't think she realises just how valuable every square foot is on the shop floor. And Joe, what's the alternative?
Would you make it clear to me? Are you disagreeing with Grace?
Couldn't disagree with her more, Joe.
Okay.
If you create this situation of the forbidden fruit, look at the alcohol in the cigarettes, right? I have a young fella there at home now, right? And he's dying to suck on these vapes to hide behind all these hoops. It's the forbidden fruit, Joe. If you create this situation with chocolate, they're going to want it more. Like my mother, when I was growing up, Joe, right? She used to have the presses full of chocolate and crisps and everything, and we didn't want for it, Joe, because it was there.
Yeah.
But my friends who had these mothers and fathers who wouldn't let them have this stuff used to come over and tear the cupboards apart, Joe. because they couldn't get it. When you create forbidden fruit, though, this is what happens.
But in terms of profit for a company, for a shop, how important is that Toblerone tunnel?
The margins have been so squeezed after COVID, Joe. The hot food convenience is very tight at the moment. A cup of coffee is very tight.
Very tight, okay.
I don't know what they expect the retailers to do. Put it behind a glass cabinet.
Okay, so... And by the way, what is the margin like on chocolate and sweets and fulfilled bars and chewing gum and Maltesers and... opal fruits and whatever you have in yourself. Like, there's a photograph that we tweeted there and at RTE Liveline, and I'll retweet it at Joe Liveline. And it is this tunnel, so to speak, that Grace so quickly described, ably described. But like, I've done a rough count using a grid system, i.e., you work out what one. I reckon there's 99. I reckon there's over 300 different products in that tunnel. 300 different confectionery brands. You know, different brands. There's about 15, 16 different brands of Cadbury's, 15, 16 different Fulfills, 15, 16 different Weathers, you know, and then they've the Reeves and the everything that's... It's about 300 different products. Now, why not? Yeah, it's all legal.
But, like, maybe you've had to practice self-control. You don't have to buy all 300. If you're on the road and you've got to drive ahead of the newspaper, what's wrong with the area?
Okay. Okay, Joseph, you're on the road. You save, I hope you, I know you are stopped, but safe travelling. Professor Barbara Ryan, Joe at RT.ie. Grace is not on her Toblerone. You support her, Barbara.
Yes. Hello, Joe.
How
hi. Yes, I do, because I think that product placement in shops in general, sorry, apologies for the bit of background noise.
No worries.
Product placement is not there by accident, and people, you know, it's not, and it's not only in petrol stations, it's in every supermarket when you go in to do your shop. Things are not in the shops in different places by accident. You know, you go in, you meet your fresh food, and you stay around the periphery, mm-hmm. you buy your breads, your fruit, your vegetables, and then at the end of your shop, when you're getting a little bit tired, getting a bit bored with the shopping, then you hit all the ultra-processed foods, the sweets, the alcohol,
okay.
the people's sort of resistance is at a kind of a lower ebb. So we are, I think we are being manipulated into buying, you know, things that are not healthy for us. And I think we have an obesity epidemic, you know, obesity rising in children. And I think it's really difficult for people to resist these things when they're being pushed at them from every angle. And I think... You know, I think in the same way we've controlled... I'm not being a health fascist or anything.
No, I know.
The same way we controlled cigarettes, we've controlled alcohol. I think it is time to look at ultra-processed foods and sugar and how that's being marketed, because it is really unhealthy. And your average person in Ireland nowadays is getting about 60% of their calorific intake of their diet from ultra-processed foods.
Wow.
And that is really unhealthy. And we've got things like, you know, obviously type 2 diabetes, heart disease. In my area of gastroenterology, we're seeing more people getting a thing called fatty liver, which is where the fat goes, in your digestive system. And all of these things, you know, and it's really difficult for people to resist temptation. And I think there does need to be a sort of a public approach to controlling, you know, where these things are sold, particularly when children have access to them.
Yes. I haven't.
I would agree wholeheartedly with Grace.
Yeah, thank you. And just to interject there again, Joe, like to that last caller, sweets aren't contraband in our house, and au contraire, if I may say, you know, we allow the children treats, of course, but not en masse. You know, that every shop we seem to go into to buy something that isn't a treat, you tend up seeing it wall to wall. And I'm talking about convenience stores. I'm talking about, you go into maybe a newsagent's or a bookshop or something, and now suddenly it's, you know, I suppose there's more and more sweets on display everywhere. It's very hard now to find a traditional shop that doesn't offer that at the register. And if you do, you know, it's unusual. You kind of think to yourself, oh, that's quite unusual that there isn't something for sale there. I was just more curious to know if people were thinking like I was. That's ultimately it, really.
Well, you see, I haven't gone through... I know there's more manifestos out today, so bear with me. And I know there's 900 different points in the Fianna Fáil manifesto, which was published yesterday. But what, knowing that this was coming, I did a quick word check. The word sugar, which doesn't appear in the Fianna Fáil manifesto. The word confectionery doesn't appear. Now, that does not mean there's... I'll go into tax during the break and see. Confectionery doesn't appear. So I'll put it to you, Barbara, Professor Barbara Ryan. It's not an election issue, is it?
No, this is a public health issue, and this is something that's not for one election. It's something that we need to look at in society in general and have proper public health policy. You know, Professor Donal O'Shea from St. Vincent's and Loughlin's Town has obviously been very vocal on this, and I think it's a very serious public health issue. And I absolutely agree. Look, we don't have to get everything right 100% of the time, but if we're facilitated in making good health choices a lot of the time, you know, not all the time, nobody's an angel. But if, you know, I think it would really help everybody if these things were not being rammed down our throats, metaphorically and literally.
Yes,
well,
no,
the other word that doesn't appear. Now, I've gone through all the other manifestos as they come out. And by the way, the Fianna Fáil document is, in terms of size, it's over, it's 200 pages, A4 pages, and, you know, quality print and all that. There's no mention of obesity either that I can find. Mm. So, but anyway, there's loads of other issues in the people. It's online.
Joe, I'm really sorry.
Okay, Barbara, go, please.
Please,
okay.
I have to go. I'm
Grace,
sorry,
Grace, safe travelling. Well pointed out, Grace. And thanks indeed, Professor Barbara Ryan. Joe at rt.ie 51551 is the text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Yes, in fairness, Fianna Fáil, sport is mentioned 14 different times in their manifesto. So that's on the other side of obesity, I suppose. And as someone pointed out to me there, look at Micheál Martin. He doesn't ever get tempted in the tunnel of Toblerones. It looks like he spends his day on the rocket salad runway. Isha is there. Anya is there. Porrig is there. Isha Doyle, good afternoon.
Hi, Aisha,
how are you? Grace, do you agree about the tunnel of Toblerones and other confectionery? 300 different products in the short distance between the concourse, between the short distance to the checkout, at least 300 different confectionery products. Wow.
Yeah, completely. I agree that there should be certain limitations on it. It's been completely normalised, I feel, to go for, I suppose, high fat, high sugar, ultra processed foods. And at the same time, there's obviously, as has been mentioned, like increases in health conditions, even cancers in younger people that wouldn't have been seen before. And if you look into it, a lot of it is all down to diet. Also, I think, there's not enough of preventative health, I suppose, in that the hospitals, you know, you're waiting for forever to get any sort of appointment and things like that. And yeah, at the same time, I don't see many preventative health measures in place to encourage people to eat healthier food. I mean, surely there must also be a market for healthy food, and it could be advertised in a certain way with this whole fitness craze going on. But yeah, I just feel that it's been very normalized. Even my son now, if he goes to a match, he plays sports. If he goes to a match afterwards, they all get Supermax afterwards. I know that's a treat every once in a while. It's grand. Going to birthday parties, they always get treats. Out with your friends, they're going to the shop, getting sweets everywhere. It's impossible.
And would you do it yourself, Aisha?
Every once in a while I would, but I suppose I haven't maybe been sucked into it as much as the average person. I suppose I'm quite health conscious. But a lot of people wouldn't know, and they wouldn't be very well educated, I suppose. So I'd like to see more input going into education, and even with young people, educating them and letting them know.
But the argument earlier on that this is all, these products are all legal.
Yeah.
So anyway,
You're talking about
the marketing, and all that. Where's Porrig? Porrig, Joan, you're listening to Aisha. You disagree. Why?
Good afternoon, Joe. Yeah, it kind of irks me slightly, Joe, that what has happened to a parent saying, no, you can't have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you don't want somebody to eat McDonald's, don't bring them into McDonald's. If you don't want them, don't bring them into the plaza if you know there's going to be wall-to-wall sweets. And if your child says, I want, you know, the lady, you know, not, you know, she said about, what was it, this mm-hmm. what Ireland has come to? But I'd be saying, is this what Irish parents have come to? We have to take responsibility for our own children.
I agree that we have to take responsibility, but at the same time, if a child goes to a birthday party, a match, go out to play with their friends, you can't be saying no. You'll be make your child be the odd one out then because it's so normalised. You know what I mean?
Well, you see, is it a toss-up between obesity and making your child be an odd one out? I think there's a happy medium there. You know, I brought up four kids.
Yeah.
Just one second. Just a second. I didn't interrupt you. I brought up four kids. You know, albeit they're adults now, but we brought them up. You know, there was Friday treats, as we used to call them. You look forward to it. But they knew not to ask within reason. And I'm not saying they're mad kids by any stretch of the imagination. You know, they knew within reason not to ask because, you know, you got your treats on a Friday or a Saturday. But, you know, if they went into the shop and said, I want, and I would say, no, you can't have it. You get it on Friday.
Okay, Parag, please, I know the point's well made, but please, I want you to make more. And I want you to address what Mary is going to tell me. Mary, good afternoon. You went in to the Barack Obama Plaza.
Yes, Joe. We just happened to stop for petrol last week. And I can honestly say I've never seen anything like it. I compared to other petrol stops here. You know, it's like for children, it's probably like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And for the parents, it's hell on earth. And there's no, you go in to pay for your petrol and there's no sign anywhere to say where to pay for your petrol. So you just start queuing and the queues reminded me of Euro Disney. You're just going one, you know, turning, going down another aisle, turn another aisle until you get up to pay for your petrol. And the quantity of, it's quite, I actually thought it was obscene, the quantity of sugary products.
Okay.
And very, very difficult, that caller is right to say, okay, what's happened to say no? But very, very difficult to drag your children the whole way up to pay for petrol while saying no to absolutely everything that's there. And when you think of the amount of time that's been spent and money's been put into trying to get the country more healthy, you know, trying to deal with the problem of diabetes and obesity, and at the same time, this is what's happening every day. This is real life. You know, it's totally contradictory.
Yeah. But all legal, isn't that the...
Oh, yeah. And nobody's saying that it's not legal, but just perhaps something that should change a little bit. Grace said about France is absolutely right.
Yeah,
we lived in France for many years. And if you stop for petrol in France, you're just never going to see anything like what we saw at that plaza last week. Never. And there's an interesting point that I can make. For example, crisps in France are just used for adults with, you know, like with an aperitif. Children, French children, would not associate packets of crisps as something that they would get regularly or even as a treat.
Yeah, but if no crisps, you know, nice as tato.
They're actually there with everything else that you nibble, with nibbles for, you know, for drinks, for adult drinks.
Well, my experience of French crisps is that they're quite close to the taste of cardboard. But that's neither here nor there. I take your point.
Right.
And the French. And the French, I know. And the French. And the French are, well, they generally are more health conscious than we are. Where's Frank Greeley? Frank, you want to make a quick point? You say, if the supermarkets put fruit, and this, instead of the Tunnel of Toblerone, if they put fruit, the children would buy it.
Yeah, Joe, I just think that the fruit suppliers particularly need a bit more imaginative and a little bit more aggressive marketing in that area, because I promote the Daily Mile for Athletics Ireland all around Ireland, and I see that when we give children a taste of fruit after exercise, they absolutely love it.
Yeah, okay. And what about, why don't they do it? Is there no margins in fruit? Or does fruit go off so quickly? Chocolate doesn't, confectionery doesn't. Like,
I don't know, but I think, Joe, when the kids are given an opportunity, my experience anyway, and I go all over the country to primary schools, and I see that when they have the option of fruit...
But they do, but every child can, well, hopefully, every child can have an apple a day if they want it. You know, a small apple, even, it's relatively inexpensive, much cheaper than a bar of chocolate, I can tell you.
I think a marketing slogan like a taste of fruit would definitely make a difference with children, you know, because you're not pushing it at them as something that they don't like. And certainly we need it in the obesity. There's a rapid rate of obesity rising in Ireland, and it's going to have huge consequences for the health services in the generations to come if we don't arrest that.
Okay, Frank, Anya, good afternoon, Anya. You support Grace. Grace is not on our tober on. You support her.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think the service stations are actually providing for the need. If you're doing a trip across country, you're going into a service station, probably for petrol or whatever, but you're looking for something to eat as well. And I've been in several where I have had to turn around and walk out because there's absolutely nothing in there that I can eat.
So you
not
can't,
even a banana.
You can't get a bit of fruit?
Not even a banana. I think it's just staggering. I would like to appeal to service stations to please put on something that doesn't have gluten and dairy in it.
Because vote with your feet. That's what you're doing. You're voting with your feet. Don't go to the
bar. When I'm on a trip going across country, I either have to, plan ahead and bring my snacks with me. But I'd love to be able to go into a service station and pick up something that I can eat.
But in such time as the Barack Obamas and those like that, we say no to our children and we say no to the Barack Obama's plaza of this world. Just don't go in. Simple as that. Yeah, we have a choice.
Yeah, I appreciate what you're saying, but I don't have that option. Yes, I do. I have to plan 2 days in advance where I'm going, what I'm going to eat and how I'm going to feed myself. I would just love these places, just to put on a few items. Like, one time I was in there looking for a sandwich and the girl felt so sorry for me. She went out to her locker to take out the bread out of her own lunch.
You see, the Barack Obama...
To make me a sandwich.
Yeah, but the Barack Obama Plaza, well, Supermax have been on to, saying they provide a wide range of products to consumers, including hot beverages, sandwiches, salads, fruit and household items. We strive to offer a variety of products to meet the needs and preferences of all our customers. And everything we provide is dictated by customer demand. While confectionery is a popular choice, we are also committed to offering a wide range of nutritious snacks and meal options. The Barack Obama Plaza, they say, would be in no way different to any other motorway service station when it comes to its convenience offering. We will, of course, take this feedback on board.
I would agree with that, Joe, and I'm not picking on the Barack Obama Plaza.
Okay.
It is just a general thing when you go into any service station anywhere in the country. Yeah, they've a kind of a format. They're all pretty much the same. But I would just like to take the opportunity to appeal to them to please try and put on a couple of other items that we will buy them. We will pick them.
Kevin, you have another idea. Go ahead, Kevin. Thanks, lead on. Joe@rt.ie. Kevin, your quick idea, please.
Good afternoon, Joe. Yeah, I was in the hospital getting a heart transplant, and during the time I was there, I used to walk in the hallway there, and every hallway, every floor, every area, there were vending machines full of multicolored potato chips, everything, candy bars, Snickers, whatever you wanted. And I noticed that in front of the machines, there used to be a lot of young kids who, for their age, were very overweight and out of shape. And one kid bought 7 packs of potato chips or crisps out of the machine, sat down and started eating them all. It's just the colors, the boredom and everything else attracts you.
And they know the salt and the sugar, and it's all done deliberately in that sense that it is. It's not illegal, but it does make things more attractive. By the way, Kevin, you were talking about an Irish hospital.
Not to mention any names.
Yeah, that's fine. But some people might be confused with your accent. You were talking about the States, for example. You're not our Canada, but you're not.
I have an accent? No, just kidding. No, I'm from Las Vegas originally, Joe.
Okay, but I've been here
25 years.
Okay, I thought you sounded like the Milky Bar kid there for a few minutes. But you have a much more serious point than my levity. You say this is in an Irish hospital, and there was an inordinate amount of vending machines selling confectionery and crisps and the like.
Well, I've been in like 5 hospitals in Ireland the past 8 years. So I have diabetes also. And I'm not saying the candy bars and everything started my heart going down, but I needed the sugar and everything else in the candies really affected my diabetes.
Okay, well. Okay, Kevin, you're well now, hopefully.
Well, I've been going through troubles, but, I had sepsis about 6 weeks ago, and... It's a tough go. But if people would eat healthier and pay attention to what they're eating and how much they're eating and walk every day, it eliminates, I don't know what percent, 50-80% of all health problems. But,
Thanks, Kevin, but I hope a continued... improving health to yourself, that's the main thing. Thanks indeed. Kevin Devitt in Westport. We're still looking for Ciara Cork, calling Ciara Cork. Anyone know anything about Ciara Cork? Online clothes, ladies' fashion, it seems, primarily, said Ciara Cork, calling Ciara, not in Cork, Ciara Cork is the name of the website.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Ciara Cork. Will anyone come on and talk about Ciara Cork? Especially Ciara, if she's nothing to do with Cork. And she runs Ciara Cork. Calling Ciara. Anne Ackerson. Anne, good afternoon. Phantom. That's no connection with the previous point. Phantom. phone. What are you getting Phantom told? But you have to pay them, don't you?
Well, I do. Okay. I'll tell you. It all started, Joe, when I moved back to West Cork in December 21.
Okay.
So therefore, my car was no longer up there. My husband's car might be occasionally. And in January of 23, I just looked at my bills every month. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, when I was working, I didn't have time to go through the bills because I was using every toll in the country. So therefore, it would have been a nightmare. Mm. So in January 23, I noticed my car was going through the Dundalk Plaza, or they were telling me it was.
Okay.
So I rang Tollbridge, I rang Easy Trip, and they told me they couldn't do anything about it with the Dundalk Plaza. I rang them, spoke to really nice people at the time, but nobody could do anything for me. So I eventually got a, and this went on for February, March and April of that year. I eventually got a manager, and she said that the only thing they could do would be block my car. Now, the car that's using the toll has the very same make, very same colour, the very same year, the very same county, but the last 3 digits, one of them is different, which is quite unusual as well. So I got that sorted after months of phone calls and losing my head a bit, and they responded to me.
Oh, God, thank God. Okay. So you got your money back.
That was June 23, and I got my money back. So roll on then to May 24, and the thing starts again, but this time it's in Port Laois.
All right.
So May, June, September and October, I was charged my car. They're refunding me. But again, they can't block that car, but they can block my car. So that's my problem. Do I take my car off the toll altogether? Mm-hmm. I don't really want to do that in case I ever want to use it. But it seems to be the only alternative.
And Easy Trip say, it seems in this caller, which is what you're saying, in this caller's case, there is another vehicle with a similar reg number. And the system seemed to be reading that reg as the caller's one. Yeah. We have contacted the plaza in Port Laois and the M1 to remove this caller's reg from their ANPR system, which is a recognition system, isn't it? So that they only read the tag that is on the account. Now, if that sorted out, I wonder.
Well, I haven't had a bill.
They're saying they're not going to read the reg anymore.
Yeah, I haven't had a bill since June 23 for Dundalk. It's now after switching to Port Laois.
It's gone to... Okay.
It's in today's world, I know it's very minor, but
okay,
it's mind-boggling.
Okay, stay there. Paddy, come in. Paddy Martin.
Hello there, Joe. How are you?
Good. What's the scenario there, Paddy? I know you're...
There's a lot of people in trouble and bother, isn't there, hey?
Yeah, there is.
Yes. I was down the country at the weekend there, and in Killarney, coming back up, I came back up to M8.
Okay.
And paid my toll at Sunday evening at outside Cork. I was never on that road before.
Okay.
So I came on up the road, wanted to stop for diesel, so pulled off at Fermoy. Nice big signs up there telling you what's in there and, you know, pull off. So pulled in for diesel, got me diesel, got a sandwich. Lucky enough, I didn't spend too much time there. Went to come back up onto the motorway, and there was another toll.
Right.
So I hadn't got my tab with me because it was a different vehicle I was driving.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have one through work, but I had a different vehicle with me. So it didn't go up. And I thought that it should have seen that I came through the main one only maybe 15, 20 minutes before that. So I pressed the red button for help. Girl came on,
okay.
Asked what was the problem, told her I was looking to get through the toll. I was after coming through the main one there at Cork so many minutes ago. She said, how many minutes? I just said, does it matter how many minutes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she says, yes, it does. And, you know, I says, how come? She says, it does matter. So I forgot I actually got the receipt. So I guessed it. She says, no, I can't find you at that particular time. So then I thought about the receipt. 21 minutes. But while I was looking for the receipt, she said I had 15 minutes from whatever this 15 minutes is.
Oh, you 15 minutes grace to get off.
Yes, but how did they know I got off?
I didn't
off?
Know that, yeah.
Yeah, that's what she said, right? So I hadn't even time to question her on it. I give her it was 21 minutes anyway, right? So that's the time, whatever she was looking at, right, at this 15 minutes. But I can only imagine it was from the time I went through the first toll, right, until I got to that button, if you know what I mean, at that particular toll coming out for my... all I had was 15 minutes. That's what I was allowed. Say, if I did come off to get fuel, get back on,
oh,
that's
no,
what she was allowed.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right? Because where else would the 15 minutes come from? They didn't know I left the junction or whatever, you know?
Mm.
So I could have stopped somewhere else on the way off the road. But my... So, look, to finish the crack...
So it's much cheaper if you keep moving. If you don't have to go to the bathroom or you don't,
right.
The kids aren't looking for a bottle of Ballygown or whatever.
If there was a kids in the car, a woman, a young baby, had to change, a child, all that sort of crack, maybe young kids in the car, maybe an old person, a problem, maybe toilets, all that sort of crack. 15 minutes from the main toll up to Fermoy, do whatever you do, get back on, they're allowing you 15 minutes. I said to her, I says, I paid for this stretch of road, from whatever stretch it is, from that, probably from Cork City, right, right up to whatever, then probably the next toll on the, at the M7.
But Fermoy, direct route, just to bring you up to speed, Paddy, so to speak, pardon the pun, direct route in Fermoy, say... the 15 minutes grace.
Yeah.
The direct route have implemented a policy that should a user make an error and depart and rejoin the motorway within 15 minutes, the second transaction will not be charged. The 15 minutes allows for sufficient time for the user to rejoin the motorway safely. This is not a contractual requirement, but instead, Paddy, a gesture of goodwill.
That's good of them, isn't it, hey?
And they also say, Paddy, hey, Paddy.
Right. I'm wrong then, yeah.
No,
right.
And you're not to take this personally. Do you hear me, Paddy?
Right.
No, promise me you won't.
No, I won't take it any further.
Instances of such transaction, Paddy, are rare.
Oh.
And occur, wait for me,
right.
Occur approximately one or two times per
year.
No, month.
Oh, month. Jesus, yeah, I'm taking me far, right? Okay.
But that's that's only between 12 and 24 times a year, they say people do what Paddy has done.
Right, okay.
I don't think you're that unusual, are you, Paddy?
You don't know me.
I didn't know that. So the 15, but I thought, yeah. When you said the 15 minutes, I logically thought the 15 minutes does it the leeway. Yeah. Yeah. It's to encourage you if you want to go to the bathroom or whatever. But the 15 minutes, they say, is not for that at all.
If
at
you
all.
Make a mistake, right. Oh, right.
It's right. Should Jesus. Direct route have implemented a policy that should the user make an error of going into Fermoy, that wouldn't be an error in anyone's life. If you were to make an error of going into Fermoy and depart and rejoin the motorway, if you get back on within 15 minutes after making your mistake, Paddy.
Right.
You won't be charged, but if it's after 15 minutes, you're...
Well, I wasn't charged.
Okay.
Because there was cars building up behind me, and the next crack was going to be...
But you stood your ground.
I ain't paying. You stood your ground.
I know that.
I'm not paying. And the next words would have been, listen, if you want me to move, you may get a tow truck out, because I was not moving.
Okay. And if they said, if you don't move, we're going to get the Gardaí out.
Well, that probably would have been the next thing.
And what would you have done if they said that to you, Paddy?
I would have standing there. I would have stayed. I would have locked in the van and gone out and sit on the side of the road. Hey,
Paddy.
That's exactly what I would have done.
Okay.
And that's what's wrong with a lot of things you see all over the country. Like with everyone else, people aren't making a stand of these things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I was worried about. Wait for this,
Paddy. Has anyone ever told you, Paddy Martin from Manahan, that you're one? That you're one in a million?
Well, I have been told that.
I'd say you have, and I hope it was in a nice romantic setting.
Well, it's
because you're about to hear it again in a different setting. Direct route. Paddy. I want to whisper this into your ear, darling. Direct route, who operate the Fermoy toll, say that they've 22,000 cars on that road every day.
Yes.
Okay. So multiply 22,000 by 30 days, that's what, six 600,000 to say the least.
Yeah.
Okay, nearly a million. We'll round up to a million.
Right.
They get less.
I know where you're going.
Yeah, yeah. But you didn't know where you were going on Sunday. You get less. Paddy, you're one in a million. 22,000 cars a day, 31 days or 30 days in a month, nearly a million transactions. And they only one person. You are one in a million, Paddy Martin from Monaghan.
So the not many people presses that button to pay the money and to go on about their business.
And they pay again, says you.
And they pay again. Well, on a round trip.
But they say again, do you have to, like, if you had just gone back on without stopping and clicked on your thing on your windscreen.
Yes.
That wouldn't have been an issue, sure it wouldn't, but you would have been charged twice.
Joe, I'm going to tell you this. Yeah. If I had to have a with me, that would have bleeped. And if it bleeped again, I would have still hit the red button. If I had to have me fob with me. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That fob is registered out to a company van, right? My work van, right?
Okay.
So I didn't take it with me, right?
Okay.
So if it did bleep on the way out, I would have known that another transaction was taken out of that.
Okay.
And I would have stolen the van and hit that button and asked, and was the one taken out and asked, why was it?
And then.
And I still would have. And then. And there would have been another problem.
Yeah. And then you're.
Definitely. So why wouldn't you? Would you do the same, Joe?
I don't mind me. I'm as odd as
you. No, I'm asking
I'm as
you.
No, Paddy, you're one in a million.
Hold on a minute. Right. Jesus Christ, there's not many like you. But. But you know what I mean? Like, what would you do?
Knowing me, Paddy.
Yeah.
When I'm in the car these days, I listen to the three things and three things only. Well, I love radio as well, as you know. I listen to the RT drama productions of Juno and the Paycock, The Plough and the Stars, The Shadow of the Gunman. No matter where I'm going, I put them on. Yeah. Thank God, no accent. But I'm totally concerned. I would probably drive through a toll thing seven times and not notice it.
Yeah.
That's how dopey I am, Paddy.
Yeah. Well,
you know what I mean? I failed. When I was in second class, I failed Mála. Good luck.
Well, you didn't do so bad since, did you?
I did. Will you mind yourself, Paddy? And you have a couple of vans. You have a couple of vans. That means you're employing people. And well done, Paddy.
Well done, Paddy. Nice speaking again. Thanks very much.
Likewise, Paddy, to you and yours.
Bye. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie, Dorothy. Dorothy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You love your sweets.
I love my sweets. I couldn't do without them. And yeah. I would hate to see them being taken off the shelves or reduced. I mean, we're going down the road of now hiding sweets behind in a cabinet like they do with cigarettes.
Yeah.
And
what are your favourites?
Oh, I love milk chocolate and I love Toblerones.
Okay.
And marshmallows, yeah. Jelly sweets.
Yeah.
The ones with lots of sugar on them.
Yeah.
And I'm a devil for sugar. Put it on my cornflakes, put it in my tea.
Yeah.
They say it's bad for you, but I mean, I'm heading for 80. I'm skinny.
Okay.
I'm still agile. So the sugar thing keeps me going.
Now, when is the first sweet thing you have of a day? Is it sugar on your cornflakes?
It is.
Cornflakes have sugar anyway in them.
They are sugar on them, and then 2 spoonfuls of sugar in my tea anytime I'm having tea.
Yeah.
I'll have a slice of cake.
Well, have you eaten any chocolates or biscuits today, or cake? Or?
I have. I've had 2 slices of Madeira cake.
Yeah.
So far.
So far. And is there people living with you, Dorothy?
Are there people living with
yes,
me? Yes.
Yes.
I have grandchildren around, and my husband's here, my daughter,
okay.
Yes.
So, so would they be aware of your sweet tooth?
Oh, they're very aware of it.
And what do they say to beloved Dorothy?
Well, my husband told me if he survives longer than me, he's selling me for medical science.
Oh,
because he says I go against all the odds.
I probably shouldn't ask this, but anyway, in the middle of a general election. What's your favourite combination of sweets?
What's my favourite combination?
Yes.
Oh, well,
have you made up anything yourself, so to speak?
No, I haven't. No, no.
You know the way every day there's a new variation on Cadbury's or Kit Kats or whatever, caramel, salted caramel.
No, funny enough, if I walked down an aisle now with a lot of different sweets, I would still just go for the same things.
Did you ever, when they brought it out about 10 years ago,
yeah.
Do you remember there was chocolate with Tato in it?
No, never went to
never,
that.
Never took off.
Never, no.
Okay. And Dorothy, has any medic said anything to you on close examination?
No.
Blood pressure, cholesterol?
Perfect.
Blood levels?
Perfect.
John Barton is a retired cardiologist. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
What do you think? What a spot to put you in.
No, I think, Joe, that I think it's okay to have the products there, and we all understand that companies and shops and things have to make profits, etc. And I suppose where I'm coming from is really if the consumer was given a bit more information about the actual product.
And okay,
the
good idea, within, good idea, yeah.
Sugar, fat, a traffic labelling type system, which I think had been discussed in the past, but I'm not sure why it's not been introduced here.
Okay.
And there is a voluntary code, I understand, in the UK, and a lot of the manufacturers have, in fact, put the traffic light labelling system on the products, So at least it gives the information to the individuals. Look, you have a choice. You can choose healthy, or you can, if you wish, you can go ahead and choose your unhealthy by choosing red. But at least you provide the information which allows the individual the choice to say, look, I can see that that's red, therefore, I need to eat less of that. I need to eat more of what's green labelled,
Okay, so red, what would a red dot or whatever on the label, what would that be telling me, John?
Well, it would be basically telling you, Joe, that this is very high content sugar or very high content fat, saturated fat in particular. So you at least it's giving somebody a choice. Look, I'm going to go healthy today, or I'm going to have once a week, I'm going to go the unhealthy. We all eat a certain amount of unhealthy, Joe, let's be honest.
Yeah,
even
yeah,
I do that.
Yes, of course.
But then you can limit it. And we know that excess sugar and excess fat is not good for your health. And we know certainly from some other international research that labelling, that the traffic light labelling system does help. It does benefit.
Okay.
So
But there's no, and I wouldn't anyway, John, but there's no point in me asking you, how do we explain Dorothy?
How do we explain which, sorry?
How do we explain Dorothy? What is the 79 coming up to 80, she said. Love sweets, non-stop, anything.
Look at Joe.
She's not obese.
And you're quite right, Joe. You're absolutely right.
No, she is willing. You are willing to give your body to science, are you, Dorothy?
Well, my husband said he's giving it to science.
Now, is this before or after you die?
After I die, I think.
Joe.
Yes, John, sorry.
I suppose it's like this, Joe. It's a bit like, you know, I would have had many, many patients over the years, and they've been smokers.
Yes.
I couldn't unequivocally say to that individual smoker, you're going to get cancer. Yeah. We all know the patients who smoke. God, they smoked and they drank whiskey and they lived till they're 85. The problem is, if you lead an unhealthy life, you are more likely to die younger than you are to get to 85. And wonderful that Dorothy has achieved this fantastic age and managed to eat her sweeties, etc. I mean, that's fantastic. But in general, from a public health perspective, it's just giving people the choices and.
Okay, well, I think that's an idea. Is there any country where the red, orange, and green three little symbols? Yeah. Is there any country where they got a bit of a where they got a go?
Yeah, they have it in the UK, but on a voluntary system. It's not mandatory. Now, I don't know, Joe. Maybe there are countries that have it as a legal requirement. I don't know.
Okay. But it's an interesting.
I can't honestly tell you. Maybe somebody else knows that. But it's something at least that should be strongly looked at, I think, you know?
Okay. Thanks, indeed. That's John Barton, retired cardiologist. Dorothy, we're going to have to change topic, so to speak.
Okay. I'll keep eating my sweets. I hope they're still on the shelf before I die.
As a fellow said, I'm betwixt and between. I'm going to take a quick picnic and we'll get back to you after the Kit Kat break. Dorothy, please mind yourself.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Thanks a million. On sound, Niall McMonagall, researcher Richie Byrne, producer Annette Egan. Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Refresh your home with the latest colours and designs in curtains and bedding, in-store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.